College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in this show, we will be joined by UCLA head coach Steve Alford. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And Stamps saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. I'm always on the road, so avoiding the time of year going to the post office and printing postage at home is now a great thing for me. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. You can print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. 7 days a week. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. They make it easy by sending you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. I use Stamps.com because of the convenience, and right now, you too can enjoy the great services they provide with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Hoops. That's Stamps.com. Enter Hoops. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. And now that we've got you set for all your mailing needs, let's get into my big thoughts from the weekend.
John's big three thoughts from the weekend.
I'm going to give you three. Oh, wow.
Kansas continues to make you a believer. What a week last week for the Jayhawks. Down 14 points with 2:40 to play Monday night against West Virginia. Kansas comes back, beats the Mountaineers in overtime, and then on Saturday, Kansas beats Baylor by 2 points in Waco. The 13th consecutive Big 12 regular season title is imminent for Bill Self in Kansas. I'm still, however, not sure about the Jayhawks going deep into the NCAA tournament because of what they lack up front. This is not a vintage Kansas front court, as we've come to know under Bill Self. But remember, if Kansas, as it likely will be, winds up as the number one seed in the Midwest region, the regional games will be at the Sprint Center in Kansas City. Kansas has already played there 3 times this season, once against Davidson, 2 times in the CBE Classic, and that is also where the Big 12 tournament will be held coming up during championship week. My other observation, how about Villanova's patience? And what I mean by that is two guys right now in Villanova's rotation have redshirted, Dante DiVincenzo and Mikhail Bridges, and it's very rare that you see kids today in college basketball accept the concept of delayed gratification. DiVincenzo and Bridges have, and also you have to remember, Josh Hart, who very well could be the National Player of the Year, did not start as a sophomore. And my other observation, I had to think this after Wisconsin played Maryland on Sunday on CBS. How many Big Ten teams are going to wind up in the Sweet 16? Wisconsin hasn't been as good offensively the last month or so. Purdue might have the best player in the country in Biggie Swanigan, who has had 24 double-doubles in 27 games. But with that said, you really have to wonder how many teams are legitimate second weekend teams in the Big Ten. Maryland has had opportunities to move the needle with big victories, and the Terps have not been able to do that. Maryland lost to Wisconsin on Sunday, blew a lead late against Purdue a couple of weeks ago in College Park, but did have that big win last week at Northwestern. But very difficult right now for me to see the Terps as a second weekend team. One team that I think is definitely a second weekend team is the UCLA Bruins, and the head coach of UCLA, Steve Alford, joins us next on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. UCLA is 24-3 after a big win on Saturday against crosstown rival USC, and the head coach of the Bruins joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. He is Steve Alford. And Steve, how big was the significance of Saturday's win, considering the fact that your team had lost 4 straight to your crosstown rival?
Well, I think it's always big. You know, I said it before. It depends on if you're in the present or the past. We had won five straight in our first 2 years and lost three to them last year. And then this year at their place, I thought they played well. They turned us over. And we were coming off the Arizona home loss and didn't play well, and they beat us, and that's a credit to them. So I think squaring up that series and getting the home win this year was big for us, and it keeps our momentum going, and we're playing at a pretty good level right now, so it was a good win.
You know, Steve, in the day and age of social media and immediacy, things are always much worse than they seem to everybody, but I'm curious, after those two losses you had to Arizona and USC, which came after a terrific start to the season, what was your message to your team internally?
Get rest. We were a tired basketball team. We hadn't had a break yet. Us and SC were the last two teams in the pack to get a bye week or a bye game. So we went, and we were the first teams to start league play. So we were 13-0 in non-league play, and we were the first team to open up conference play at Oregon. So we had to start at a very difficult place and lost on a last-second shot, but there was just no break. And I think our team had started to show fatigue after the Arizona State game. And so it was really about just mentally and physically getting a break. We're fine. Let's go on this next trip to the Washingtons and get back to playing the way we need to play, continue to work defensively and improve. And that's what we're seeing. We're 5-0 in February, and we've continued to be the number one ranked offense in the country. And over the last five games, our defensive efficiency has been much better, top 50 in the last five games. And if that continues, then we've got a chance to be very, very good because of what we can do at the offensive end.
Well, and that's interesting you brought that up, because not just from an efficiency perspective, Steve, but your team has not given up more than 80 points during this five-game winning streak. What's the biggest change you've made in your defense recently here in the month of February?
Well, I think the guys, it's sinking in now. I think when you go 13-0 in the non-league and you beat three Big Ten teams and Kentucky at Kentucky, and the level of which we were doing it, you know, and we're still a league team that's still averaging almost 90 points a game in league play. So offensively, there's just been no dip. And when we start the year the way we did, even losing at Oregon, you know, we score 87 on the road. So in a game where I think our guys didn't think they did a lot of good things. So sending that message was hard because we just kept winning. We were 18-19-1, I think, at one stretch. So I think once we lost two in a row, I think it was just a mindset. We've got a very, very good basketball IQ guys, high character guys. They get it. And I think it's just sunk into them as we've gotten closer here to the end of the season. At least the regular season, the importance of just a little bit more of intensity and urgency at that end, and we've seen that here in February.
UCLA head coach Steve Alford joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. UCLA has won five straight games, 24-3 after Saturday's win over USC. And, you know, Steve, I was in Southern California to interview you for CBS after you got the UCLA job in 2013, and you said that you felt that being a star player in the state of Indiana and playing at Indiana would help prepare you to be the head coach at UCLA. What's the biggest difference in the fishbowl as the UCLA head coach versus the fishbowl as a star player at Indiana who played in the state?
Well, there's similarities, and then there's differences. You know, second largest market in the country. There's a lot going on. Obviously, in Los Angeles, a huge pro town, and so when you talk about the entertaining capital and just everything that goes on here, it's just bigger. The lights can be bigger that way. But I do think playing as a player, playing at Newcastle, largest high school gym in the world, playing for Coach Knight at Indiana, being in the Olympics, and then 26 years in this business, it prepares you very, very well. And I think that's why we've been consistent, and coming off of a down year, able to stay consistent in what we're doing and rebound from a bad year into potentially, obviously it's been a very good year to date, but potentially a very special year.
Well, and you mentioned rebounding from a down year, and one of the main reasons for that is because of your freshman point guard, Lonzo Ball. And look, anybody who appreciates basketball at any level is going to make this kid appointment television. But I'm curious, for somebody who recruited him and to somebody who now coaches him on a daily basis, has he even surpassed your own expectations to the way he can affect the game?
Well, again, expectations are here, they're there as far as freshmen, because they haven't done anything yet until they get here. We knew we had a very special player, actually, in all three, Alonzo, TJ, and EK are special players, special people. And Alonzo, being a point guard, is going to control a lot of things. And he's just done a very good job of controlling our offense all year long. And I think over the last 2.5 weeks, he's really stepped up his focus defensively, and that's become contagious across the board as well. He can just beat you in so many ways. At 6'6", he can beat you by scoring. He can beat you by getting 6-7 rebounds a game. He can get 10 to 12 assists a game. He's just a very special player that way, and now he's learning to be very disruptive at the defensive end as well.
And, you know, one of the things that I think has been underrated with your team is the impact that Lonzo has had on your son Bryce, who had an unbelievable game Saturday against USC. He's shooting career best percentages from the field and also from three. How much has Lonzo helped Bryce?
Well, a lot. Not just Bryce, but all of our guys, because guys are getting better shots, more efficient shots, where at least in Bryce's case, in his first 3 years, pretty much being a point guard because of our roster and not being able to get him off the ball as much, still being able to create and do the things that he's been able to do. And that's what's been impressive with Bryce, is not just his scoring, but where he ranks in assist and the things that he's been able to do with his assist turnovers. But it's freed up the pressure for him that now he's got somebody that, like Lonzo, that can create for self, he can create for others, and we've just got a well-balanced team. You know, we can hit you with at least six guys that can score in double figures, and EK and Gigi could as well if their minutes were up.
UCLA head coach Steve Alford joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. UCLA 24-3 after Saturday's win over USC. You know, the one thing that's really been clear this year at the Pac-12 is the level of teams at the top. Your team, Oregon and Arizona. You had two unbelievable games with Oregon. You played Arizona once. You're going to play them again in a couple of days. When you look around, and you've been in a lot of leagues right now throughout your career, how strong are the teams at the top of this league in terms of 1, 2, and 3 compared to other leagues you've dealt with in your coaching career?
Well, I think these three are really good. And, you know, I obviously got more games to play, but we've gone through this league now with 4 games remaining, and we've had 3 losses. We've avenged 2 of those losses in Oregon and SC, and we've actually got a big game this weekend with Arizona after Arizona State. So Arizona and Oregon only play once this year. You're not looking at any bad losses at the top, and those three teams have done it in non-league play. They've done it in league play. They're very efficient teams, and I think very, very good. And so the leagues that I've been in, if you're just asking me, at least 3 deep, you know, those 3 teams, I think now, what, top 6? We're ranked 4th, 5th, and 6th if you pay attention to the rankings. But 3 top 10 teams out of the pack here in February is very, very good.
And, you know, you mentioned, obviously, teams that are ranked that high, and a lot of people obviously feel that teams that are ranked that high have a chance to go deep in the NCAA tournament. But the NCAA tournament, and you and I have talked about this, is a different animal. And you had a New Mexico team in 2013 that I loved and I'll always love, and it felt to me a lot like the Gonzaga team that we're seeing this year of such a great season. And you had a game against Harvard where your team didn't play their best. I'm just curious, how much did that experience reiterate to you just how fragile the experiences of playing in the NCAA tournament?
Well, you're exactly right, that it's a completely different season. And we've talked to our team about that, that February sets up March and making sure we're getting better in February. I will say that New Mexico team, they were an outstanding basketball team. That was a lot of fun. We went through that league, I'm not saying easily, but that was a year where we wrapped up the league championship with 2 weeks to go in the season. So being challenged in February though we were winning, I'm not sure looking back if we were getting better at the level we needed to get going into the NCAA tournament. We went right through the league tournament, won three games in 3 days to win the conference tournament championship. So we were playing good basketball. We were very confident. But as you go into the NCAA tournament, pretty much everybody's playing good basketball. They've come off of a championship. They've had a good season. And if you don't play well, it's a one-and-out deal. And that's the parity in college basketball now. You've got to be playing your best basketball in March. And you can't have slippage. You can't think you're going to have a bad night in advance on the men's side just because the parity's so great.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up because that's kind of what Mark Few is going through right now. Gonzaga hasn't played a game that was decided by single digits since December the 3rd. How is somebody who's went through and experienced what he's dealing with right now in the West Coast Conference, would you describe what that's like from a head coaching perspective?
Well, and Mark, obviously I have tremendous amount of respect for him, so it's nothing. I can't give him any advice. He's brilliant, he and his staff, on how they do things and what they go about. And he knows his league. He knows the pulse of his team, and obviously a very, very good team. I think my experience in New Mexico was just we were winning at such a high level that sometimes you get out to March, and now you play a team where a lot of your guys, it's not disrespect, but now you're playing an Ivy League school team that maybe they don't have a good feel or understanding of, and they've just been beating San Diego State. They've been beating the UNLVs of the world out west, and now all of a sudden you get a team out east that they don't know a lot about, and you've got 2 or 3 days to prep for. I'm not saying they overlooked them or any of those things. It's just different. It's a different feel. So it's about staying sharp the whole month of February into the conference tournament. Even though practices get shorter, really trying to emphasize the things that you see on tape as a coach, regardless of who you're playing opponent-wise that you think you're seeing slippage in, and really concentrating in those areas. And those are things that we're trying to do here now that we're in February.
Two more things, Steve. Your bio, obviously, is a special one. You won a national championship at Indiana. You had great success at Southeast Missouri State, made a big dent in the Big Ten at Iowa, and you had great success in New Mexico. Your bio does not read that you have coached yet in a Final Four. How much does that thought cross your mind?
Not very much. To be honest with you, I try to stay in the present. I've always been that way. Obviously I've been at Missouri State and Iowa, New Mexico have been three of my stops. Not a lot of Final Four tradition at those places, and yet I feel like we did a lot. You know, Missouri State, it's the only time the school's been to the Sweet 16 at Iowa. It's the only time two Big Ten titles had been won or seven straight winning seasons there. So we thought we did some good things there. We just didn't advance in the NCAA tournament. That was the disheartening thing about my stay at Iowa, because I had a couple teams there that quite honestly should have advanced, and we just didn't get that done. And then at New Mexico, I thought we had just a great run with a great group of guys and probably as good a six-year run that New Mexico's had. And then you come to a place like this, you're never going to do anything here that hadn't been done before. So it's just taking what we have. We've got a special group here. I've been through it before as a player. You've got to get some breaks. You've got to be lucky along the way as well. Your matchups are crucial. I think matchups in the NCAA tournament now are even more important than they were when I played. But as far as coaching, I'm just blessed. I've had tremendous players. I've had high character guys on my staff that I've had a chance to be and associate with over a 26-year period. And we've won a lot of championships. We've been in a lot of great games and won a lot of games. And if a Final Four someday is, if that's in the making and that's part of my will, then I'm going to open my arms and enjoy that. If not, I'm still going to do everything I can to make it a great experience for these young men.
Well, and I think you have a chance, obviously, to have a great experience with these young men over the next 6 or 7 weeks, because in a college basketball season dominated by parity, you have a guy that I'm going to vote for National Player of the Year at point guard in Lonzo Ball, and you've talked a lot about your team. Do you feel internally, and do you talk about with your staff, guys who have been on your staff for a while, how this is your best chance to get to that point because of the setup and the landscape of the sport and the team that you do have?
No, John, we really haven't. It's not about you know, I haven't talked to the staff or team in that regard. It, you know, maybe as you get closer to it, it may be something. I to be honest with you, I doubt if it's brought up even. I think it's about staying in the moment. We've still got games to be played. We're going to play Thursday at Arizona State, and we know for sure the schedule says we play at Arizona 2 days later. When we get to March, we open up the conference tournament. There's no guarantee we get the next day, and when we get to the NCAA tournament, whoever our first-round matchup is against, there's no guarantee we get to the second round. So I think it's about keeping your guys in the present. They are high IQ guys. They know we're good. They know this is a good basketball team. And when we get to that point, when you're in a one-and-done situation, I think it's about assuring and reassuring the guys that you don't have to be great. Just be good. Be good at what you do, and everything will take care of itself from there. You got to stay away from having a bad performance, a poor performance, because when you get to March, a poor performance could end up ending your season, and that's the reality of March Madness. And so I want our guys to stay in the present. We've done that all year, John. This year has been a blast. It's been a joy to coach because these guys are so fun to coach in practice and gameplay. And we've been having a lot of fun since October, and I don't want that fun, you know, to all of a sudden dip because of the pressures of March. These guys understand the pressures. They're going to have a really good feel of what March means, but I hope it's because of what they've done as a body of work that prepares them for March.
Well, Steve, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. I know how busy you are. Appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck this week in the desert, and I'll be in touch along the way.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, John.
We'd like to thank UCLA head coach Steve Alford for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your college basketball Bible for the season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast that is coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And if you like to eat well, you know that not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. That's why you need to check out Blue Apron. They make it easy to have a great meal in a short amount of time and a great price. At Blue Apron, you can choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's superb culinary team surprise you. Check this out. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. My favorite part is that each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. You have to go to blueapron.com right now. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is visit blueapron.com/collegehoops. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/collegehoops. blueapron.com/collegehoops. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And it's time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And the first question comes from Scott Batten. And it's, John, what are the main things you look for in an under-the-radar team that can make a deep run in March? Well, there are two ways I look at under-the-radar teams. I look at under-the-radar teams as being potential mid-majors, and then I also look at different teams from power conferences that might be slightly off the radar. If I am looking and evaluating a mid-major team, I want to see a team that has a dominant star player, like Valpo with Alec Peters, okay? Potentially a team that has a guy who can carry somebody, like Monmouth, Justin Robinson. And if I'm looking for a Power 5 team that has a chance to go far in the NCAA tournament that might have underachieved, I want to see also what kind of star power they have that could put them in a position to go further than a lot of people anticipated. A perfect example of that, Tennessee and Konzo Martin 2 years ago were in the first four. They found a way to beat Iowa. Then they went to the Sweet 16 because they had a great player inside in Jarnell Stokes. Our next question is from Nick, and it's John. What are the chances that Illinois State and Middle Tennessee make the tournament as an at-large? Nick, I do not want to be you know, the person who ruins your day, but I don't see any way that would happen in an at-large scenario. Middle Tennessee, though, does have a better resume than Illinois State in terms of its at-large chances. Middle Tennessee has beaten UNC Wilmington, the favorite and defending champion in the CAA. They've also won a game at Belmont by 13 points, and they've also beaten two SEC teams, Ole Miss on the road, and also Vanderbilt. And we are going to get back right now to everything else on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And now that we've got you set with the interactive portion of our podcast, it's time for some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, elite ball security. We had Mick Cronin on the College Hoops Today podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about Troy Copain being the X factor for Cincinnati. Copain in his last five games, 26 assists, two turnovers. How about the depth of the ACC? Pitt, the 13th place team in this league, has beaten both Florida State and Syracuse in the past week, and the Panthers also have wins over Virginia, Marquette on a neutral court, and over Maryland, by 14 points in a game that was in College Park. That's the 13th place team in that conference, ladies and gentlemen. Nugget number three, Wade's Worth. How about Will Wade since taking over in 2015 at VCU for Shaka Smart? His overall record right now as a head coach for the Rams, 47-16. Will Duke be Road Warriors this week? The Blue Devils have back-to-back games at Syracuse and Miami away from Cameron Indoor Stadium. Duke has won three straight on the road in the ACC. Nugget number five, the streaking Tigers. Princeton hasn't lost a game since December 20th against Monmouth. The Tigers have won 13 games in a row. They're at Columbia on Friday. I plan on attending that game. Remember, Princeton lost two starters this season to season-ending injuries, Hans Brace and Henry Caruso. What a job Mitch Henderson has done this year at Princeton. And now let's get you set with your games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Tuesday, an interesting one in the SEC. South Carolina at Florida. Gamecocks hitting a little bit of a tailspin, similar to last year. Florida trying to move on without John Egbunu, who had a season-ending ACL injury last week. Wednesday, Duke at Syracuse, Louisville at Carolina, and Oregon at Cal. Interested to see how Oregon does this week in the Bay Area. The Ducks were 0-2 in the Bay Area last season when they wound up winning the conference. And Thursday, USC at Arizona. Arizona in position to win the Pac-12 regular season title. They have the inside track with the schedule. Those three teams in the Pac-12, UCLA, Oregon, Cal, all Final Four contenders. We'd like to thank UCLA head coach Steve Alford for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.